From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in Psalm 138. The great theme of this psalm is worship, particularly how God's people are to worship Him. The subject is especially appropriate in this day of man-centered worship. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy a devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon.
Our text for this morning is found in Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 7. At evening time, it shall be light. Oftentimes we look forward with forebodings to the time of old age, forgetful that at eventide it shall be light. To many saints, old age is the choicest season in their lives. A balmier air fans the mariner's cheek as he nears the shore of immortality. Fewer waves ruffle his sea. Quiet reigns, deep, still, and solemn. From the altar of age, the flashes of the fire of youth are gone, but the more real flame of earnest feeling remains. The pilgrims have reached the land Beulah, that happy country whose days are as the days of heaven upon earth. Angels visit it, celestial gales blow over it, flowers of paradise grow in it, and the air is filled with seraphic music. Some dwell here for years, and others come to it but a few hours before their departure. But it is an Eden on earth. We may well long for the time when we shall recline in its shady groves and be satisfied with hope until the time of fruition comes. The setting sun seems larger than when aloft in the sky, and a splendor of glory tinges all the clouds which surround his going down. Pain breaks not the calm of the sweet twilight of age, for strength made perfect in weakness bears up with patience under it all. Ripe fruits of choice experience are gathered as the rare repast of life's evening, and the soul prepares itself for rest. The Lord's people shall also enjoy light in the hour of death. Unbelief laments. The shadows fall. The night is coming. Existence is ending. Ah, no, crieth faith. The night is far spent. The true day is at hand. Light is come, the light of immortality, the light of a father's countenance. Gather up thy feet in the bed. See the waiting band of spirits. Angels waft thee away. Farewell, beloved one. Thou art gone. Thou wavest thine hand. Ah, now it is light. The pearly gates are open, the golden streets shine in the jasper light. We cover our eyes, but thou beholdest the unseen. Adieu, brother. Thou hast light at eventide, such as we have not yet.
A great day is coming, heaven's gates will open wide, and all who love the Lord will enter in. To join with their loved ones who in Jesus Christ have died, their eternal life in heaven to begin. And the Lord himself will greet us. Oh, what joy will fill that day. And with a smile of the proudest father, he looks at us to say, welcome home, children. This is the place I prepared.
On the night before the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, he instituted an ordinance by which his people were to remember him until his second coming. Known as the Lord's Supper, or Communion, this simple yet profound ceremony pictures Christ's broken body and shed blood through the common elements of bread and wine. Through the centuries, this observance has been a precious and solemn time for the Lord's people. Yet it has also been a subject of much abuse by those who come to this table of the Lord. At the extreme, a person's attitude toward it was a matter of life or death. During the time of the Reformation, many people were burned at the stake for refusing to accept the insistence of the Roman Catholic Church that the elements of communion literally became Christ's flesh and blood. Some groups see these elements as mere symbols, while others find in the Lord's table a much deeper significance. Dr. Alan Cairns recently wrote a short book in which he deals with the Lord's Supper from the scriptural teaching on the subject. Simply titled, The Lord's Supper, the book is subtitled, An Earthly Encounter with the Heavenly Christ. Its aim is to stir the hearts of believers to enter into the joyful fellowship our Savior holds out to us as we eat this bread and drink this cup in remembrance of him. Let the Bible Speak has obtained a limited number of copies of this publication, which are available to our listeners. The price for each copy of the Lord's Supper is $8, which includes shipping and handling. You may have a copy by sending your check for $8, made out to Let the Bible Speak. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email us to reserve a copy at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Be sure to request your copy of the Lord's Supper today. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series based on Psalm 138. His text is the seventh verse of the psalm, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me." The theme for this message is personal revival in time of trouble. As David the psalmist confesses, God's people often walk in the midst of great difficulties in life. Eliphaz, Job's supposed friend, said, "Man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward." The danger is that believers may allow themselves to be swallowed up by their troubles unless their eyes are fixed upon Christ. And now to bring God's word for today, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
Now this morning we continue with the series of, textual studies, messages, rather than, I don't want you to get the idea of study that we're doing any difficult exegetical work, but some textual studies in Psalm 138. We have been through the psalm for the first six verses, and now we come to verse 7. Verse 7 of Psalm 138. "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me." The Apostle Paul assures us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable to every believer. And we know that is true. But there are certain Scriptures that somehow stand out from the rest and maintain a universal appeal, and at the same time, a very individual appeal for every believer in Christ. And our text this morning is one of those special verses, and the reason is not difficult to find. I think it's because this text addresses the sufferings and the hopes that all of God's people share in. This text speaks of having to face both adversaries and adversities, of enduring the malice of men, and just the heavy burdens of getting through life from day to day. Now, this is the common ground that all Christians occupy. And the certainty, therefore, that David expresses as he faces these things touches a chord in every one of us. This is our Reformation month, and I have no doubt that this month, sometime on Sunday evenings, maybe two or three times, we will sing Martin Luther's great hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, a Bulwark Never Failing." In writing that hymn, Luther caught, I think, the psalmist's meaning in this text when he said, "And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us." That's the very teaching that David is expressing in the text before us this morning. What he's saying, quite simply, and it seems a very sweeping statement, at first, it's so easily said, and yet it's so vast in its ramifications that it almost blows our brain. But what he's saying is that the Lord will not allow either adversities or adversaries to destroy his people, but will intervene with his power to deliver them. Now, that's the truth that I want us to consider in some detail this morning, As we look at what I think is the subject of this great text, and it's a subject immediately interesting, I think, to every Christian, it's the subject of personal revival. Or if you want it more fully, personal revival in the midst of the troubles of this world. And as we look at that subject, we see that David highlights three things, and I want us to focus upon them this morning. First, he names a serious predicament. Though I walk in the midst of trouble. Walking in the midst of trouble. The word that's translated trouble means just that. It means trouble, distress, affliction, adversity. And this is our common lot in life. I think that when he wrote this, David felt very much like Paul felt when he was writing to the Corinthians about when he was in Macedonia. In 2 Corinthians 7 and 5, he said, when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. And how often that summed up the apostles' experience. How often it summed up the psalmist's experience. How often it sums up our experience. Outside, there's fighting. Inside, there's fear. And there is no rest to be felt within our flesh. When David penned the words of this text, he felt himself surrounded, hemmed in on every side by trouble. No matter where he looked, no matter what direction he took, no matter what action he took, no matter how he tried to ameliorate his situation, he was faced with trouble on every hand. And that again touches us, because I think even in a little congregation like this, if you went from seat to seat and heard one testimony after another, you would hear from God's people, this is where I am. This is what I am facing. We feel very often isolated in that. And that's part of the devil's plan to make us feel isolated. You're the only one going through this. God must have forsaken you, or he must have something peculiar against you, because Christians generally really shouldn't experience these things. But if I were to have every Christian rise and give testimony, one after another, with few, if any, exceptions, would say, yes, this is our common lot. We know what it is to be hemmed in on every side by trouble. We're facing the troubles that are common to all men. As we read in the book of Job, man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. If you can go to a blacksmith's shop and see him at work without sparks, if you can see him hammer on the anvil and do his work and the sparks are not flying, then and only then will you find a man born of Adam's race living through this fallen world without trouble. Man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward, and Christians are still in the flesh. Christians are still men. Therefore, we share in the common experience of man. And then there are some of the peculiar troubles that belong to us for no other reason other than that we are Christians. The peculiar hatred of Satan for the people of God. So like David, we feel ourselves often surrounded. We have outward troubles. We have inward troubles. Many of you this morning are suffering from troubles of body. And then troubles of soul. We have trouble from sin. We have trouble from Satan. We have trouble from the world. This is the way in which we are called by God to walk through this world. Furthermore, we find from the words of Barnabas that this is the way we must enter into the kingdom of God. Paul and Barnabas confirmed the souls of the disciples, and in confirming them, they exhorted them to continue in the faith. And what was their argument? Acts 14:22, we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. The pathway to heaven through this world is walking in the midst of trouble. That's the predicament that the psalmist here mentions. I'm not going to labor the point. I don't think I need to do what would be very easily done, and that's just to start at Genesis and go right through the Bible and give you example after example that this is the way things are. But that would be like trying to make a philosophy class out of proving that you've got to breathe to live. It's as simple and straightforward as that. That's the predicament. We're walking in the midst of trouble. That trouble brings an ominous peril. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou'lt stretch forth thy hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Now, you will find there lurking a danger. The danger in this predicament is that we become swallowed up by trouble. It's one thing to be surrounded by it. It is totally a different thing to be swallowed up by it. The danger is that we become so consumed by the troubles that we're facing that we end up doing what Satan intended Job to do as the result of his trouble, and that was to curse God to his face, to fly in the face of God. We end up doing what Job's wife commanded him to do, curse God and die. And the word curse there has the idea of just give up on God and say goodbye to God even though it kills you. The danger is that we become so swallowed up by our trouble that we simply lose out with the Lord. That we give up on life. That we give up on service. The danger is that we go down and then we stay down. Lose all hope and all sense of purpose in life. The 77th Psalm asks some questions that in faith a Christian rises up to say no in answer to them. But when you're swallowed up by trouble, you feel like saying yes to them. Will the Lord cast off forever? The danger when you're surrounded and swallowed by trouble is that you feel he's cast me off. Will he be favorable no more? You feel he'll never again let me see the light of his favor. Is his mercy clean gone forever? Does his promise fail? That's a hard one. I've often pointed this out. When your faith is saying one thing and you're so consumed by trouble that your heart is saying the opposite thing. Always say, his promise never fails. There hath not failed one word of his good promise. And yet there are times when the flesh rises up in rebellion against that faith because of trouble to say, his promise has failed forever. Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? When you're swallowed up by trouble, the danger is you succumb to that kind of unbelief.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.